everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We begin our journey today on health and healing by looking at a study from Queen Mary University, which is in the United Kingdom. One glass of beetroot, it's actually just beets, a day is enough to significantly reduce blood pressure, especially in patients with high blood pressure. That's the conclusion reached by the scientists who conducted a placebo-controlled trial in dozens of patients. And that's very important. This was part of the British Heart Foundation, a series of researchers. So let me repeat this. If you just have a glass of beet juice, don't put salt in it, because a lot of the commercial beet juices have salt. Like tomato juice has a lot of salt. I saw one tomato juice that had 700 milligrams. Well, if your daily requirement is 800 milligrams, you don't want to have almost your daily requirement of sodium in one glass of juice. Now, making it yourself is best. If you got celery and you put some celery and lemon together, great way of lowering your blood pressure. You could also take a little bit of a seed. It comes in a capsule. It's celery seed. And these are the seeds that they grow celery from. And you take one of those capsules, that reduces your blood pressure also. Pomegranate is another great way of reducing your blood pressure. One glass of pomegranate juice per day, that's also good for you. So we have a nation of high blood pressure people, about 90 million more or less. Some of those people are on medications. And let me just share a little anecdotal story. True story, just happened 2 days ago. I have someone I know, a professional friend for probably 43 years, and this person has very high blood pressure and didn't know what to do and came to me and say, you know, Gary, here's my medical record. What do you think? So I'm looking at it, and I see that this person has high blood pressure and is on not one, not two, but three different medications. And still the blood pressure is high. But I'm thinking, this is not good. And so I said, are you aware right here that you have acute renal failure? What do you mean? I said, didn't your doctor go over this? It's right here. No, the doctor didn't go over that. Didn't mention that? No. So I said, here's what everyone should do. And this is a message for all of you. Anytime you're on any medication, go to the physician's desk reference and look up that particular medication and then see what are the side effects and look at the side effects in descending order, because generally the top side effects are the ones that you're most likely to experience. And lo and behold, two of the three medications for high blood pressure caused, you guessed it, acute renal failure. I mean, both kidneys are going to close down. That will kill the person. So I asked, I will talk with your doctor as your patient advocate. Got the doctor on the phone, and here's what she said. I've been trying to reach my doctor because of how I feel for the last 6 days, and they don't return the call. Every time I call, he's busy with a patient. Did you say to them that you're in an emergency? Yes. So finally, I said, get me to the receptionist then. Got the receptionist. I said, could I speak with the office manager, please? Got me the office manager. I said, I'm speaking on behalf of one of the doctor's patients. And this person, I'm reading her medical records, and she is in acute physical distress. She's in acute pain, and her blood pressure is off the wall, and I need to speak with the doctor. Immediately. Well, suddenly he gets on the line. Who are you? Very abrupt. I said, I'm a nobody. I'm just a person who has a professional friend who you have refused to return a call to. And I'm just wanting to know why you gave her these three medications, but you never spoke to her about being on a low sodium diet. You never talked to her about her walking or exercising or stress management. None of these were discussed. And he didn't like that. And I said, and when I looked up in the physician's desk reference, two of your medications for high blood pressure cause kidney failure, acute kidney failure. And now she has acute kidney failure, which she never had before. And, well, I thought I taught, no. And the person was there on the phone and says, no, you never spoke about lifestyle changes or anything. You just kept giving me more medications. So I said, so here's where we're at. What you have given her has a high probability of causing her one of these life-ending conditions. I would suggest that you get her on different medications that are not going to adversely impact her kidneys. The doctor did that. And then I advocated for her to look at one of the best ways of lowering blood pressure, which is acupuncture, by a real acupuncturist, meaning not just a chiropractor or someone who's taken classes and got certified, but a traditional Chinese medicine medical doctor. And that's what this person did. And within 3 hours, after a simple session of blood pressure, the blood pressure came right down. Now, that was about 2 days ago, and it stayed down. And now the person is educating themselves on exercise, diet, nutrients that will bring down blood pressure, understanding the sodium-potassium pump. Now, mind you, this is a highly educated person that I'm talking about. Didn't know, trusted the doctor. And how often have we trusted a doctor when we should have offered a legitimate and civil challenge? Prove to me you're doing no harm with the therapeutic model you're giving me. And indeed, that model might save my life and benefit me. But I just want to know you've done your homework. Never assume that what the doctor says in and of itself should go unchallenged. Because remember, every year we have what is called iatrogenesis, meaning medically induced injury or death. And there was a Harvard professor who wrote a study years ago that claimed that upwards of 1 million, I repeat, 1 million people die each year in the United States from medical errors. And the AMA now says it's the third leading cause. So I got a group of scientists, research scientists, and physicians, and it took us almost 5 years of research. We each had different areas. Every aspect of medicine, cardiology, endocrinology, gastroenterology, bariatrics, all of these different specialties, we looked at their peer-reviewed literature using only their information. And that's what we found, that all these mistakes were being made. And it was number one. It was number three. And that's where we're at today. So do your homework, all right? You don't want to be an iatrogenic case history. This study comes from the universities of Cape Town, Oslo, Oxford University, and it's a very important one. Why? Because it talks about simple things we can do to slow our brain's aging. The omega-3 fatty acids with the B-complex. I suggest a 25 milligram B-complex. And while research has already established that B vitamin supplements can help slow mental decline, especially as you get older, especially with memory problems, an international team have now found that having higher levels of the omega-3 fatty acids in your body could boost the B vitamins' effect. So take them together, the omega-3 fatty acids and a 25 milligram B-complex tablet. All right, and mind you, you're looking at something that's easy to do. After all, we have a nation where millions, tens of millions of people, senior citizens, are now facing the long decline into dementia, and that's not good. All right? And by the way, one of the side effects of long COVID is dementia. So prematurely aging the brain. And that's with people in their 20s and 30s. That's how serious that condition is. Also, I'm very much against a high sodium and a high fat diet and a high protein diet. They're all unhealthy. Penn State College of Medicine has found why a high-fat diet could reduce the brain's ability to regulate food intake. I'll explain it this way. Regularly eating a high-fat calorie diet, that's the average American diet, could reduce the brain's ability to regulate how calories are used in the body. This was published in the Journal of Physiology, and it found that after short periods of being fed a high-fat, high-calorie diet, the brain adapts to react to what is being ingested and reduces the amount of food eaten to balance caloric intake. This is from Penn State College of Medicine, and it suggests that calorie intake is regulated in the short term by cells called astrocytes, which are large star-shaped cells in the brain that regulate many different functions of neurons in the brain, and that controls the signaling pathway between the brain and the gut. Continuously eating a high-fat, high-calorie diet seems to disrupt this signaling pathway. Understanding the brain's role in complex mechanisms that led to overeating, a behavior that can lead to weight gain, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. And by the way, obesity is a global health concern because it's associated with increased risks of dying prematurely. In England, 63% of adults are obese. That's really unhealthy. But in America, we're even higher. So all the food that we eat, the kind of food we eat, the amount of food we eat, the combinations of food we eat, all of this adversely affects the neurons in our brain. So what do you do to reverse this? It's simple. Here's the solution. Eat a healthy, plant-based diet and make sure you're getting probiotics. So you're feeding not just the body, you're feeding all of the good microbiome, the bacteria in the gut. And that goes to the brain, signals the brain, and therefore even allows you to feel more comfortable eating less food. Now, if anyone's ever eaten dinner with me, and I have a lot of people because I used to do cover dish dinners, remember that? Remember he says, remember we had so many people who wanted to come to dinner that the restaurant out on Long Island said, we're inundated. We have over 1,500 reservations to be with you tonight at dinner. So we're just taking over the whole parking lot. So, and I thought it was really nice of them because I knew they went to extra expense. They rent all the tables and chairs. And it was interesting because People Magazine came with me and did a photo shoot, and it was in there. And you see all these wonderful people from my audience, families, and a lot of singles too. That's when we were all very young and really interested in socializing, and cover dish dinners were the way to go. And I'm sure many of you attended those, because I would go on for the next 10 years and choose the largest restaurants in New York that had a healthy menu or would give a healthy menu for that night. In fact, at Hisi's on 72nd Street, it was a large restaurant, held somewhere around 160 people. We'd have the early dinner, which would be at 4 o'clock, and that would be 4 to 5. And almost all senior citizens came to that one. And then we'd do 5 to 6, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, and the last one was 9 to 10. So all told, somewhere around 800 people could have dinner. And we did that once a month for years. And a lot of people socialized with each other. It was just wonderful times. So what we want to do is we want to go towards a healthy base diet. And if you ever saw me eat, I eat very small amounts. I never have a big plate of food. For example, for lunch, I might make myself some seaweed. I might make it hot or cold after it's... I rinse it, by the way. I rinse my seaweed 3 times. Then I boil it for about 3 to 5 minutes. And then I can either put it in a refrigerator, run cold water over it. And then I might dice up some radishes and put some radish sprouts in there, and onion sprouts, garlic sprouts, daikon sprouts. And now I have a cold salad, and I use that as a seaweed salad. I make my own dressings for it. Or I might eat it hot. I might add some tofu. I might shave some parsnips, which gives it a sweet, tart flavor. It excites the mouth because it's not just one taste. But then I got the seaweed. I have some root vegetables, maybe some squash. And then I have, which I steam. And then I have a grain, quinoa, brown rice. And then I'll have my beans and whatever I'm in the mood for. But that's a whole meal. And yet it would be equivalent to about a bowl and a half of food. And so that provides me with lots of fiber, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, phytonutrients, quality amino acids, my proteins. Because people are always asking, where are you getting your protein? Well, in the morning I have a protein smoothie. And that provides me with about 4 hours of good quality amino acids. But I repeat that twice in a day. So you don't have to be eating all the time. You don't have to be eating big meals all the time. And we've gotten this habit of, you know, going to restaurants that give us the big meals, you know, really fill us up. You don't want to be filled up. You want to be able to get up from a table and still be hungry. That's the ideal way of eating. And then go for a walk afterwards. I always, in the morning, I do the gym, and then I have my breakfast, and then I take the dogs for a walk. And I have a big field out here. I got about 15 acres. They run around and run and play, and I'm jogging along with them the whole time. And then I say, let's go back, and they jump into this little cart. They're cute, two little Dachshunds, and they know when it's time to go back, and I take them out three times a day. In the evening, for a long time, they're out for at least an hour. It's great joy just being around completely loving creatures. But also because I do it after I eat, it maintains the blood sugar more evenly. So if you have diabetes or pre-diabetic, or if you're completely healthy, always go for a walk after a meal. Let me repeat that. It's important that you get the blood sugar moving, get your glycogen, your stored glucose, moving into your metabolism, because otherwise, if you have anything that has a glycemic factor, meaning the amount of glucose in it, it's going to spike your blood sugar. And you don't want that. That's damaging the cells. You want your blood sugar maintained at an even level. So go for a walk, go for a bike ride, but get your metabolism moving, get your muscles moving, and you'll stay a lot healthier, a lot longer, and you'll stay at a normal weight. So, University of California has a study. More steps, 10,000 minimum, moderate physical activity can cut dementia and cognitive impairment. Now, this was specifically for senior women. They're less likely to develop mild cognitive impairment or dementia if they do more daily walking and moderate to vigorous physical activity. That's according to the Herbert Wertheim School of Public Health and Human Longevity Science at the University of California, San Diego. This was published in Alzheimer's and Dementia. And by the way, just so you know, the results are in from the important study I did 6 months ago with a group of individuals on campus and then following them for 2.5 months at home. And blood workups, two different types of blood workups, all these physical activities before and after, journaling and lectures on campus, up to six lectures a day, plus workshops on meditation and mindfulness and yoga, gym workouts, juicing, supplementation, vegan diet. And I'm waiting for the final description of the results, but I did have a phone call with seven individuals, including group leaders, people who oversaw different aspects of the study. It was completely supervised. And I'll simply say at this moment that we established a breakthrough in science history. In fact, one of the individuals on that call, who is the head of one of the most significant and respected anti-aging foundations in the world, after I asked the person in California, do your results show that we actually reverse the aging process. Hence, adding years onto a person's life. And they said, yes. This other person said, wow, then this is one of the most historic studies ever done. So now, all the different analysis and are being done, and I'm waiting for that to come in any day now. Once that is approved, once it's submitted for peer review publication, I will then go into greater depth. But I will tell you this, based upon the outcome of five consecutive studies over 3 years, and the same positive results all five times, but now with a second blood chemistry on a methylating DNA test that showed what we actually were doing, I'm going to do a study where many people around the world, remember, we're a worldwide program, can do the next study from home. And that's all I'll say at this time. But I think the next study is going to be a big study based upon the results we have here and how I'm hopeful that this will impact the anti-aging community. So, in any case, get your exercise in every day, all right? Because all this can slow down the decline in brain aging and help prevent dementia. And that's from Dr. LaCroix, the MD, PhD at the university. Quote, physical activity has been identified as one of the three most promising ways to reduce the risk of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Prevention is important because once dementia is diagnosed, it's very difficult to slow reverse. Not true. There is no cure. Not true. Not true. And I'll be able to bring shortly on the program two individuals with end-stage dementia and Alzheimer's, and then hear what they have to say and their spouses. All it takes is for one case to be objectively proven that you prove your case. It's just that I read the science all day long, every day, and I just don't see anybody looking at to make some interdisciplinary, meaning multiple disciplines all brought together. They're doing one discipline at a time. By the way, for the men in the audience, Harvard School of Public Health just brought out a study that melatonin may lower prostate cancer risk. High levels of melatonin, that's the hormone involved in your sleep-wake cycle, may decrease the risk of developing advanced prostatic cancer. And this was from the Prostate Cancer Foundation conference. And let's keep in mind, sleep loss and other factors can influence the amount of melatonin secretion or block it altogether. Music blocks it. Light blocks it. Having a higher metabolism because you ate too late at night instead of stopping 3 to 4 hours before going to sleep blocks it. And electromagnetic pulses, cell phones, tablets block it because they disrupt the circadian rhythm, and that is dangerous. That is a risk factor for cancer. Because some people ask, well, what does me not having enough, enough melatonin have to do with cancer? Well, I just gave it to you. And that's the latest on health and healing. And remember, you can go to Rumble, and you can go to Odyssey, and you can go to PRN.live, and you can go to YouTube, the Gary Nall YouTube, and then you'll be able to see all the films and all the other work that I'm doing right now. I'm doing a lot. And by the way, just finished principal photography on my newest documentary, and that should be ready in post-production in probably the next 3 weeks. Once Val has given it to me, says it's ready to go, then I'll set a time to premiere it as a fundraiser for our sister station, WBI in New York, and I'll also premiere it out to the Huntington Arts Cinema and up in Woodstock. So I'll be coming back to New York for a week to two, and I'll also be doing a lecture at the same time, at the same venue. I'm also hoping to do a dance party when I come back, so I'll be looking at that venue as well. So all that's coming at you, and I'm working on three new books. I bought back the rights of three of my bestsellers, and from scratch, I'm bringing them all up to date, and I'm bringing them up to date only using material from National Library of Medicine. So all the professionals, all of the medical doctors, dentists, nutritionists, dietitians, of wellness counselors, of nurses, who want to use something that's science-based in helping a person, but natural. That's what's in the new books. I'm bringing back, the first one will be The Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. It's almost 40% larger. Yeah, every day, every night, more material going into it. I mean, really good stuff. I've added 22 new chapters, so including one on aging. And I'm putting the latest information from the latest study into there so you'll know the protocols. You can do at home if you choose to. So, got a lot coming. And go to PRN.live each day to see what's up there, not just for myself, but from all the wonderful hosts that we have. Take a break. Come right back at you. We have a lot more to share. That reminds me of about 20 years ago, I was doing a lecture out in Los Angeles, and I don't even pay attention to the venue. I was doing so many lectures all over America. And I remember as I walked out and looked around the audience, it was packed, standing room only. Right in the front row, there was Smokey Robinson, Isaac Kennedy, and Sheila George, Miss America, and all these other celebrities. I mean, it was just a whole long line of them. I thought, that's strange. But afterwards, a friend of mine named Don and another friend, Kathleen, said, we'd like for you to meet some people who would like to change their diet and start a whole new rejuvenation program, all of them. So I met with them, and I'm happy to say that they have been on a very healthy regimen. They look it. They don't look their age. They don't have the illnesses a lot of their compatriots had who didn't care about health. So good for them. That was the music coming in, was one of those people. Now, yesterday, we broke a story, I believe we were the first radio program to break it, about an undercover operation where a top scientist for Pfizer was kind of bragging about how they were, in effect, engineering the COVID virus or viruses to make them more, let's say, gain of function worthy. And what that would mean for their market share, which he said will be great. And all this was recorded. And he was being asked different questions. He said about the revolving door, working in industry, and then going immediately into the government agencies, then back into industry. And Tucker Carlson last night broke it. Do you ever notice how many things that we break, he breaks afterwards, and a lot of other programs? Well, now it's all over, except it's nowhere to be found anywhere in the media. They didn't touch this story. Wonder why? Was it because possibly this program is brought to you by Pfizer? This program is brought to you by Pfizer. In fact, Rodney, if you or Dylan can find the clip from last week about all the different television stations and all the different advertisers who are putting their brand. And when you put your brand and you put hundreds of millions of dollars into a television station, then they're not about to do anything that would adversely affect that sponsor. So a big story. Here's a company that you all trusted, or not all of you, but a lot of people trusted. We were told by the media, trust them. We did stories showing why you shouldn't trust them. Remember the articles? If you've forgotten those articles, go to GaryNall.com, scroll down to articles, and look under the expose I did on the World Health Organization. It's a criminal organization. It's worthless, shouldn't exist. The FDA, totally criminal organization. The CDC and let's see, Merck, Johnson & Johnson. We did them all. No one else did. We showed you the background of these people. Now, if you show a history of companies knowingly defrauding the public, knowingly doing things that are illegal, knowingly causing deaths, hundreds of thousands of deaths, and not once anyone going to jail, being held accountable, why would you trust anything they're doing today? You mean they suddenly had their own Megantry moment and came to Jesus? I don't think so. So everyone was warned, but also you're competing with conditioning to a level that's almost cult-like. a religious fervor within the medical community. You must be vaccinated. Now look at the consequences. Now look at the I told you so. Everyone was on the wrong side of this issue. And I mean, with the consequences, we've got 8 million dead people who didn't have to die. That's medical genocide. So we did the story. Now we have coming up Dr. James Lyons Weiler. He is the director of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, which performs research in the public interest aimed at finding ways to reduce human suffering using funds donated from the public. His research program is currently focused on aluminum toxicity, autoimmunity, and the differences in health outcomes between highly vaccinated and unvaccinated children. Do you think that you would hear him being interviewed on any of the national programs debating the pro-vaccine advocates for children? He has science on his side, common sense and decency. He has the principle of first do no harm. They do not have any. They have no science, zero science. We study scientific literature thoroughly every day. There is no study that says that a clinical study on children, those vaccinated, those unvaccinated, the vaccinated children were able to not get COVID, not have side effects, not die. It's just the opposite. More children are dying, more young people are dying, more teenagers, more pro athletes are dying from the vaccine than from COVID itself. And that's just the children. And yet you hear no apologies. There's no sense of contrition. There's no sense of empathy. There's no sense of anything except yelling and screaming at the public, condemning the public. And even in New Zealand, the new prime minister said that we will track you down and vaccinate you. His words. It's a 20-second clip. And if we get it, I'll play it today. What do you mean you're going to track someone down like they're a runaway criminal and physically vaccinate them? Restrain them and vaccinate them? What if that person has an autoimmune condition? You could kill them. How many Americans have autoimmune conditions? About 130 million. And yet they were advocated, take the vaccine. That's malpractice. Every doctor who advocated for an autoimmune condition patient or patient with a heart transplant or patient with advanced cancers to get the vaccine should lose their license to practice medicine. But we're not talking about science. We're not talking about public health. We're talking about a new form of McCarthyism, medical McCarthyism, public health McCarthyism. And unfortunately, and I'm embarrassed to say, because I've defended them my entire career, the corporate liberal community, they're different from the authentic liberal community. The Democrat liberal community has advocated censorship, a form of totalitarianism, and a tyranny of the individual who wants to speak against what they're saying is their doctrines. That's what's happening. There's going to be a blowback. There's going to be a pushback. The silent majority can only be pushed so far. And remember this. If you take all of the independent voters in America, and then you look at them, somewhere around 100, 110 million, and you look at all the registered Democrats and Republicans, they were all once Republicans and Democrats. Why do you think they left your party? Because it's corruption? Because pathological liars? Because of sociopaths? That's part of the reason. They're wiser than the ones who stayed in the parties. So let's go over here and take a look. If we have my guests on the line, we will see his perspective. Do we have James up?
Yeah, he's here. Hi, Gary.
Hi, James. Nice to have you back with us. Please take it from where I left off. If you disagree with any of my statements, please challenge those statements. If not, then take us on what we don't know as a public because we have not been informed of the lack of safety in vaccinating everyone as if everyone's equally going to benefit and everyone's equally capable of overcoming any problem as long as you use one-size-fits-all vaccine because it's safe and effective. That's their agenda. That's their statements. Would you challenge that, please?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, listen, Dr. Null, I really appreciate it. Every time I listen to you, I learn something new. In particular, you know, as a recover, I call myself a recovering liberal, but you're absolutely right about the corporatocracy choosing the left half of the political spectrum by which to try to overthrow democratic institutions and indeed co-opt democratic governments. So that idea that there's a corporate liberalism is really important language. But I appreciate that analysis deeply. Yeah, so no, we you know, and I know, and others who've been listening to you for a while understand that this is an extension of the same thing that's been ongoing for over 40 years and longer, really, in the United States and around the world, with corporations, specifically pharmaceutical companies, learning how to exert ever-increasing influence on governments, first via regulatory capture, then, of course, via campaign finance reform to allow themselves to buy political parties, buy political candidates, and then write the rules that regulate themselves. And we're seeing the ill effects of that right now. Never, Gary, never did I expect when I first started my journey in this area about 2015, did I ever expect that I would hear the CDC and the FDA announce that they would stop waiting for peer-reviewed research and that they're going to rely more and more specifically on preprint server papers that are not peer-reviewed. I also didn't expect that Pfizer and Moderna and other pharmaceutical companies would have such great success publishing the results of their clinical trials, the randomized clinical trials, right from the beginning, by press release, after, you know, swearing and promising that they were going to be transparent and share the data, not peer-reviewed. The FDA actually took their press releases seriously and acted on them as though they were peer-reviewed. And yeah, it's really the end of proper regulatory actions. It's not the end of science. People are aiming, you know, their anger and disappointment, which is justified, at the wrong entity, at the wrong moving parts of the big picture. Science is merely a way of knowing, and when it's conducted fairly, when it's conducted objectively and thoughtfully, without profit motive, then we can actually learn something. But there's nothing about the research-like activities that brought about the data and the clinical trials for these vaccines. And now that everything that I was saying in April of 2020 and on, that the vaccine can cause pathogenic priming. There are proteins in the spike protein, small parts of the spike protein that will cause disease across the entire body, the various tissue systems and organs. Now that that's come to fruition, now that the vaccine failure is absolute, only the vaccinated for the most part are being hospitalized and getting serious COVID. Now that those dynamics are in play, the pharmaceutical companies have told the regulatory agencies to start listening to my complaints about over-reporting of cases. Start listening to my complaints about an abuse of the PCR system for determining whether nucleic acids are present in a clinical sample. And yeah, so now we see they want to have their cake and eat it too. When they want a pandemic, they'll ramp up the numbers by manipulating the PCR threshold. When they don't want a pandemic in the vaccinated, and that's what we're seeing now, it's an emergency in the vaccinated, then they want to minimize the public's perception. And this is a battle over public's perception, not a battle over, you know, scientific opinion. So I cannot disagree with you on your opening.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Jim, let's take it a little deeper here, because to the audience, Jim is not just giving his opinion. He is a highly respected biomedical researcher. He's best known for his contributions to advances in medical bioinformatics, and he's published three books: Ebola, Evolving Story, Cures versus Profits, Success in Translational Research, and The Environment and Genetic Causes of Autism. So in effect, Jim is a true blue blood academic. He also has directed the analysis of over 100 medical studies. He has served as founding editor-in-chief of the journal Cancer Informatics, is currently the editor-in-chief of this journal Science, Public Health Policy and the Law, and he's published over 57 papers in reputable journals. And so that just gives you a little background that he is not just giving his opinion. So now let's look at something that was just uncovered. Well, first, what was not uncovered, but we found it. After doing all the research with all of our resources around the world, I believed that all the evidence, including with Luc Montagnier, the discoverer of HIV and the winner of the Nobel Prize for that, and he had the leading senior research fellow at the Institut Pasteur, and his team found that there were HIV edited points within the genome on this virus. That couldn't have come by nature, and he made that very clear, but nobody would talk with him. He couldn't get any of the national news media around the world to take him seriously, he and his team. Mind you, the Institut Pasteur, these are not low-level intellects in science. These are the cutting edge, just like the Max Planck Institute in Germany, etc. Then you have a phenomena. You have, okay, we have a virus. Who do we appoint to go and find out its origins? Well, let's take someone that Anthony Fauci would approve of and the World Health Organization would approve of, and Peter Desick. Well, who is he? Well, he happens to be the person who has this foundation that Anthony Fauci and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and U.S. Public Health Service gives money to. He then funds Ralph Baric down to the University of North Carolina doing gain-of-function research and has admitted such. I have a video of this man talking about the gain-of-function research very specifically. He did this it was either Shanghai or Hong Kong at a science conference. But then he's the one funding the gain-of-function research at the very time that Anthony Fauci, we've never did that, he out-and-out lying. So then nobody looked, and I mean when I say nobody, I mean nobody except one person, an Australian investigative journalist, and that got information that went out nowhere. She found that the Chinese government's, their what would be equivalent to their defense department, and the head of that defense department had hired over 99 scientists, PhDs, to do exclusively gain-of-function research to create a biological weapon using the coronavirus. And they happened to also be working in tandem at the Wuhan Institute. And they published a paper on this. Ah, you won't find that paper today, but it was downloaded. So now we have people who were wanting a gain-of-function biological weapon, working in the same institute where this originated from. Now, what we don't know was this something that came out of the lab infecting someone who then spread it? Very possibly. Or was it something intentionally leaked? I have no evidence of that. But do we know that it was a gain-of-function research that created this? Yes. Were they engaged in biological research? Yes. Were they also funding, without anyone's knowledge, secret biological research, gain-of-function research around the world, and especially in the most dangerous country to do this in, right beside Russia? In Ukraine, over 23 of these labs, according to Ms. Nuland, Undersecretary of State under Clinton, who caused the coup, which we found her own voice talking with the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine that we're doing a coup. Here's who we want to run the country. You thought that that would have been the United States involved in a coup in Ukraine back in 2014. Not a word. Not a word. And her husband are leading neocons. So when does it become okay for the liberal community to side with the warmongering neocons, the ultra right-wing radicals? But they did. And hence the media decided not to look any place. They were told, don't look, don't open that door. As long as we don't show the proof of it, it doesn't exist. And that's exactly what they did. So No one's touched the story. No one has gone over there because the Chinese government won't allow any information to go out. When Peter Desik went over there and did his World Health Organization examination of where did it evolve here, they came back with no. Probably at a wet market. Wrong. And anyone with an IQ above 7 could have determined that by just studying all of the forensics on it. So that was then. Now we have one of the Pfizer's top scientists in the area of research and development who acknowledged in this video clip we played yesterday that, yeah, that's what they're doing. And why? Well, he said something to this effect. Because it's, you know, it's a cash cow. I believe that was his exact word, cash cow. And then about it, why isn't this being stopped? Don't we have overseers? No, we don't, because historically, when you work at Monsanto, you send several of your employees to the FDA and USDA. They then become heads of divisions. They then control what goes in or out in the way of what can or cannot be allowed. Everything that they want to be allowed is allowed, and everything they don't want to be allowed is not allowed. And then they go right back in to Monsanto. I did a whole investigative story on this 20 years ago. The same with Judy Gerberding, head of the CDC, goes from overseeing the safety vaccines, quitting and getting a multi-million job, overseeing the safety vaccines at the company that paid her all this money. Well, how is that even legitimate? It isn't. How about all the people at the Defense Department, all these other departments? They go to work at the very industries, and suddenly there's no oversight because everybody knows everybody, and everybody wants the next paycheck to be bigger, the bonus to be bigger. They want the black credit card, which is a credit card that has unlimited buying on it because someone's always paying, and you pay for that, the public, by trusting all this. I give this just as background because what do you make of what is said? Because in my opinion, what this man was informing the person secretly filming this was that, yeah, get ready. You're going to have a lot more viruses, and we're going to have a lot more vaccines in perpetuity, and it's a great cash cow for us, not good for the American public. Remember what he said? It's great for businesses. It's not good for the American public. Why? Because there's no oversight. Would you take it from there and give us your insights, please?
Absolutely. Well, Gary, thank you. I watched the video of the Pfizer research executive who's in charge of the mRNA research division at Pfizer. He was apparently out on a date, what he thought was a date, with an undercover journalist. His name is Jordan Tristan Walker. And this just happened very recently. It was brought forward as on Project Veritas. And Project Veritas, you know, has done a great job over the years bringing forward objective insights and perspectives and viewpoints based on reality by catching people when their guard is down. Jordan Tristan Walker is a tried and true scientist. He has an extensive publication record. The internet is being wiped as we speak of all information about him in the academic forum. This hidden camera confession that you mentioned, where he called the gain of function research that they're doing, which he said, well, I wouldn't really consider gain of function research. I would consider it directed evolution. And then he goes about describing in great detail precisely the serial passage experiments that are used in gain-of-function research. He then, as you said, goes and explains in detail how they own the regulatory agencies because they promised them jobs after. His contribution to what we now know is likely happening or is being discussed to be happening, but then there's a second video where he said it was happening at Pfizer, is gain-of-function research. You know, over the years, Gary, the agencies and the people in the agencies working for pharma, they've won time and time again just by playing games with words, right? And so if the debate is whether or not you're doing gain of function research, like Anthony Fauci told Rand Paul, I'm the one who decides the definition of gain of function research. Well, that's kind of handy, right? If you're being accused of breaking the law by going outside of the purview of a moratorium on specific activities, and then just by changing the label of those activities to something else, the term that they cooked up was enhanced potential pandemic pathogens, or EPPP. Well, now we know that there was, in fact, insufficient oversight. The HHS Office of Inspector General just published a fairly dry, non-condemning, toothless report that says, yes, that Fauci didn't provide sufficient oversight. But EcoHealth Alliance received $3 million again recently after being awarded $8 million, and about $1.8 million went to the subcontractors, including the Wuhan Institute for Virology. We have the facts, we have reality, it's right in front of us, the rest of America, the rest of the world. You can't just hope that this is going to go away, because as Gary said, they're going to continue to do this kind of risky research. And if this risky research is happening, he said he was injecting monkeys with viruses and doing serial passage, or at least that's what they were talking about doing. What happens if there's an escape on some American soil? And if the justification is, well, it might happen in nature, then shouldn't we be developing knowledge about the efficacy of keeping ourselves healthy and vitamin D, vitamin C, vitamin A, quercetin, zinc, selenium, all the things that you've talked about for decades, Gary? There really needs to be 180 degree walk away from HHS, a walk away from CDC. We have to stop relying on CDC and FDA for our health. And that's why I actually proposed Plan B. I published it in the journal, the International Journal for Vaccine Research Theory and Practice, in 2020. I could see what was happening and I was fed up. And I said, we need to dismantle the CDC. There's no way to cure them of the cancer of regulatory capture. And we need to establish institutions outside of the CDC that are non-governmental, that can never be captured by for-profit interests, to conduct research on the problem of what's making Americans sick and what's killing people. Period. They don't have any power to issue policy statements. They don't have any influence other than publishing bona fide objective research on the issues of the day, whatever the issue is. Take, for example, the fact that now the AAP says that we should use drugs and do surgery on children if they're obese. They want to open up the market of children. The AAP does this because they're captured by pharmaceutical companies. There's big money in surgery. There's big money in pharmaceutical drugs. What about the long-term effects, neurodevelopment, of not telling the families and the children the most important thing that you can do with your child from age 1 to 5 before they go to school is to play with them? Physical activity and nutrition. Proper nutrition, clean food, get away from the glyphosate, get off of the synthetic foods. That message now falls to us. We have to be the ones that bring this out. And this is why I created IPAC. This is why at IPAC EDU, we've created 40 courses. They're semester-long courses, just like you're going to college. There's
Could you
18
give us
lectures per
that? We're
course.
out of time. Jim, could you give us the email address? And then I'm going to invite you back for next Tuesday's 1 hour progressive commentary hour so we can spend the entire hour going into these topics in greater depth, including your research, since you're one of the experts in it, in the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. Where does the science show that it works or doesn't work? And what are the consequences if it works or doesn't work? Would you make yourself available for that interview?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll just give the URL right now. IPAC-edu.org/ Registration is still open till the end of February for this semester.
Give it one more time, please.
ipak-edu.org.
Thank Jim, you, thank you for being on today, and I look forward to seeing you Tuesday evening for a full hour. All right?
Great. Thanks.
You're listening to Dr. James Lyons Weiler. That's Weiler. And we will continue to share the insights and the pushback, because it's now time for all of you who are on the right side of this issue, who didn't succumb to just propagandizing or enticement or threats, to see that you were right, they were wrong. Now they should pay it back in court, and we should discontinue all these organizations and institutions and walk away from Wikipedia, walk away from the New York Times, walk away from MSNBC and Rachel Maddow, walk away from all these people, because these are not the people who are giving you the objective and honest insights that can help you make informed choices. I want to thank all of our WBI audience. We're going to continue to top the hour, but they have got to go to their news now. And I just want to, so we say goodbye to them. And one final thought here is I just want to let our audience know that we've been out of some products because it's really, really difficult to get ingredients. What used to take me 10 days to 2 weeks to get a product back in stock now takes as much as 6 to 9 months, one product a year. And one of the products we ran out of that everybody liked and uses for good reason is immune stuff. Well, we just got it back in. And unfortunately, we got half of what I ordered in, so I don't have a lot. But this is what, if you're interested in your immune system, this is really it. Listen to the ingredients, and it's now back in stock. We have astragalus, vitamin C, orange juice, L-lysine, acerola extract, amala extract, citrus bioflavonoids, turmeric, green tea, olive leaf extract, echinacea, purpurea extract, mushroom blend. I've got maitake. I've got the organic reishi and the organic cordyceps. I've got organic turkey tail and organic shiitake, lion's mane, zulin, meshnamakapu. All these are in organic chunga. I've got all these mushrooms in there. No one has this blend anywhere in the world. And then I got quercetin, dehydrate extract, and grapeseed extract, and rutin, and bacillus. Those are probiotics. Zinc and piperine and selenium. And it has a wonderful, wonderful orange flavor. Ginger, lemon flavor, I should say. So that's it. It's back in inventory. All right? So don't wait. I've already placed an order. I'm paying extra just to get it expedited, and I did not pass on the additional expense that I got to you. All right? So you got immune stuff back. That's a big deal. And now I also got something brand new in, and I'll mention this at the same time. I've got energy stuff. Why? Because look at the scientific literature on how many people are dying using or getting sick using the existing energy products on the market. No one should use those, in my opinion. So what would be good if you lack energy for any good reason? Here's what I put. First, I put the electrolytes. But my electrolytes are natural. Sodium citrate, magnesium citrate, potassium citrate, D-ribose, L-taurine, L-arginine, creatine monohydrate, green tea extract, cordyceps mushroom, acetyl-L-carnitine, Panax ginseng, ginkgo biloba, L-carnosine, rhodiola rosea root, cayenne, coenzyme Q10, and vitamin B12. And this has a natural orange flavor. So now, finally, for those of you who need some energy, don't look to coffee to do it. Don't look at the energy drink because you're getting caffeine. This doesn't have caffeine. This is quite simply the most beneficial product that I can imagine for energy. So energy stuff, the best of the best, the gold standard for what should be in your body. And also back in inventory, immune stuff. Boy, can you use that now? Wow. So how do you get these? It's simple. You call this number. By the way, energy stuff, it's under $50. All right? 877, and that's not what the price should be. That's what you're paying. instead of the higher price because I did not pass on the additions. Call this number, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, or Neil in the Vitamin Closet, Monday to Saturday, noon to 8 at 646-926-5430, 646-926-5430, or just go on to Gary Knoll and the products, and you can order for yourself. It'll go right out. But I am doubling up on my my inventory. I'm doubling the amount I would normally order. But I order in small batches because I want stuff as fresh as humanly possible. And finally, yesterday there was, at around noon, we put up a GoFundMe page to help Utrice lead. And I'm just going to give you the information that I have here. If you want to help Utrice, and I'll explain why in a moment, it's Utrice Leads GoFundMe. You just go to GoFundMe.com, support for Utrice Lead. That's UTRICE-LEID. Okay? It's GoFundMe.com, then /support for Utrice Lead. And if for some reason you have problems with that, just call Sharon and she'll give you the details. It's 646-926-5422 is our main number. Why? Because I'm sure many of you remember, because she went public with it. 6 years ago, she called me. She was outside the operating room in recovery. They opened up her chest and said there was nothing they could do. The lungs were totally filled with cancer, and she should seek hospice care. She called me. I went to work with her, and 3 to 4 months later, her blood pressure was normal. Her arthritis was gone and pain. Her blood sugar was normal. Her cholesterol was normal, and her cancer was in complete remission. A year ago, she started having this legal problem with her landlord, who wanted her out, though she'd been a good tenant for all these years. And no, he wanted her place. And she fought back. She used up her funds. The stress that she was under with no support system, because Utrice is a quiet person. She does not bring her own problems to the fore. She feels that at the age of 70, she should be able to take care of her own issues in life. But now, not only did she lose her lawsuit, and hence she has no money, he threw her out right on the street. And but now, because of the stress 24/7, her cancer is back, stage 4, end stage. But she has some extremely high blood pressure, extremely high cholesterol, high blood sugar, and also something she did not have before, she has now: acute renal failure. That means kidneys are closing down. So once I found all this out, and she called me asking me for help again. And first thing I did was call her doctor, because when I started looking at all the medications she was on, 2 of the 3 medications, the side effect of the blood pressure medications were renal failure. And of course, that was not a pleasant conversation. Because, well, I told her, no, she's on the line. No, you did not. You didn't tell me a thing about lifestyle modification or anything. But anyhow, so while I'm present and acting as her advocate on the phone, as citizen advocate, at least he changed the medication schedule. She's now just on 3 instead of 7 medications. And I've advocated for some holistic treatments for some of the holistic doctors. And including acupuncture, intravenous vitamin drips, etc. And already, with just 1 acupuncture session, just 1, pain went down substantially, but her blood pressure dropped really low, which is not low normal, high to lower without the medications. She's changed her lifestyle completely, but she has no money. I estimate that it's going to run somewhere between $15,000 and $25,000, even with discounts and people being considerate, to get her the type of therapy she has to survive. And literally, it is about survival. Because everyone up to this point that she has said, they gave her no chance of surviving. So imagine the emotional issue when you're told, go to hospice care, go home, put yourself in order, because unfortunately you're under your life. But Eutrice knows that there's still a way to fight back because she did it before. She's just got one extra burden, you know, her kidney collapsing. So I believe that everything that can be done to help her survive should be. She needs help. And I want to thank Steve Brown, because Steve is just one of those remarkably generous people. He has been the heart and soul of the liberal movement for over 60 years and has not compromised on those values. And he is also very humanistic. Thank you, Steve, because the donation you made yesterday will allow her, starting tomorrow, to get some vitamin C drips at a potency that will make a difference. But there's no guarantees here. I mean, realistically, she's at the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second. That's how challenging this is going to be. Can it be done? Yes. Will it be? Don't know. But she needs your help. So I just want to share that with you. Have a nice day, everyone.